everyone. This is Chris McLaughlin from Stones Crossing Church and want to welcome you to the D Group Leader podcast. I'm here once again with Pastor Mitch Green. What's going on?
Hey, good to be back with you.
Yeah. Even though we're recording this all in one day, so.
But you don't know that.
That's right.
Well, you do now, but you didn't know that before.
But yeah, it's a good, we've been talking about how to lead a D group discussion, and we're going to give you today some practical tips on how to, really a strategy for how to lead your discussion. Before we get into that, I just have a quick announcement for you. Many of you have heard about the Pace Setter gatherings that are happening right now, and we have a few that are still left for you to sign up for. D group leaders, this is something that we think every single one of you should be a part of. If you haven't signed up for a Pace Setter gathering yet, we want to really encourage you to do so, because there's some big things coming up in the life of our church that we want to communicate to you. And we think that these Pace Setter gatherings are really going to be the best way to communicate those things to you, because this gives you the chance to get your questions answered and things like that. Mostly what we want to do with this, and you guys know this is our philosophy. We want to make sure that you fully understand what we're doing as a church, because you have such influence over the people in your group, so you can actually help us to communicate what's going on to the people in your group. So you being at these Pace Setter gatherings are really important for us, so that our whole church can be on board with where we're going in the future. Absolutely. So if you haven't signed up for one yet, go on to stonescrossing.com/giving, and you'll find the link there to be able to sign up for one of these Pace Setter gatherings.
Yep. So. June 7th is the hottest party out there.
Oh, it's at your place, right?
June 7th. Okay. It's exclusive, 25 people max. But it's going to be a hot party. We'll have some sort of dessert or something.
Perfect.
To nibble on during discussion.
Awesome.
Try to keep it not crunchy so we don't irritate you over sharing. But yeah, June 7th, that's the one.
Awesome.
That's the one for you.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, this is for you.
Awesome.
June 7th is the party to be at.
Sweet. And there's actually a bunch of them that are on there too. So,
no,
so it doesn't
one.
Have to be that one either. So, so check that out. Please sign up for one of those. Well, let's get into our discussion today. Developing a strategy for leading your D group discussion. We're going to talk about five different things over the next 2 weeks, five different tools that you can use to lead your study. We're going to just do the first three today, and then we'll do the next two next week. But this is what we want to talk about first. The first thing I want to ask about really here is about being prepared, but also being flexible. So how can we be prepared for our study, but then also be flexible for what happens within our group? Because we know that, you know, preparing a study, we have to do, we talked about this last time, you have to do the hard work of going through the passage and figuring out what the passage is saying and what the right application of it is going to be. And one of the big things that I love to do is anticipate questions that are going to come up from the passage too. Like, there's some really hard questions in there. But if we don't have a good goal for the study, like where we want to end up, then there's this tendency for our discussion to just kind of waywardly go around everything, right? We can go into some weird places. So, I don't know, Mitch, let me ask you this. Have you ever had a group discussion where maybe you had a goal in mind, but it just went off into a tangent, off into a ditch somewhere? And what did you do with that? How did you rein it back in? Did you leave it there? What did you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I won't share from this because we're talking about mainly dealing with adults, but I lead freshman boys also. And that's every week of my life. Some sort
tangents
of
are the norm.
Tangent that we go off on.
Yeah.
So So I've experienced that. But in the adult setting, yes, I don't want to give specific examples because there's just, there might be,
It's
D group leaders, but there could be people listening. But I can remember one example specifically this year where I had posed a question, and it to me was what I seemed to be a very basic question of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of looking for a response, and it was early on in our meeting, so there wasn't, it was kind of hard to get responses out of people. And so one person gave a response, and the response just took us way in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things. It was like some of the things being said even had to be addressed. So the thing that I did in that moment that I think helped get us a little bit back on track was one of those conversations where I had to say, hey, let's table this for now, and then we're going to come back to this. Now, it's very unfair if you don't come back to it.
Right.
You've got to come back to the things that you're saying that you're unwilling, you know, in that moment to discuss. But the best scenario, mm-hmm. and this, I think this happens often, is often the tangents are things that will be addressed later in discussion.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
So for me, if I can note that ahead of time, I try to prevent those tangents. So I said, hey, I'm going to cut you off right there because we're going to talk about that here
right,
in a bit.
Right. Or sometimes I've had that happen where someone would ask a or make a statement or ask a question that I know is going to come up later or I hope will come up later. And I may just leave it hanging for them because, you know, maybe they're like, I'm not sure, but I think this. But then, you know, like as you get back to it, then it's going to come up again. So that's really good. I think, you know, a really key thing for this is to make sure that you have a goal for where you're going when your discussion. If you don't have a goal for the, like, you know, for the application or the key point of your study, then you're just kind of wandering around. It's kind of like going on a hike without a map. You know, so, and a key application can either be, you know, something that they should do, right? Like what they're basically asking the question, what should I do or what should I know? Like maybe actually sometimes an application can be just like a theological point that could help to shape their worldview. Mm-hmm. And so it needs to be one of those things. So what you really want to have with every session is to have a goal of where you're going to end up, a good application point, and then everything in the discussion should start moving towards that. If it gets off of that, then that's where you can use one of these tools to kind of help rein it in or table it for a while and then start to steer people back towards the goal.
Well, and I would say too, Chris, I think, you know, even in when you're thinking about your curriculum and what you're choosing, mm-hmm. like most good curriculums out there, a lot of them that I know we use, they're set up in this way. And I think we miss that part because the parts that we love to skim through are the parts where they're usually giving the quick overview.
And then
we get to the details and the message. But, you know, like we've done, I've done 3 of the 4U series, you know, the Bible 4U over the past year. And all of them in the very, very beginning, they tell you exactly what you're trying
what
to
the
communicate,
goal is.
What the goal of your discussion is.
That's awesome.
Similarly with the gospel projects, mm-hmm. you know, for those who are maybe using some of those studies, they lay out in the very beginning, what are you trying to get across to your people? And I am really, really bad at being like, I don't need to know that. I just need to get to the details. And it's like, that's sometimes the most important parts. But sometimes that's why certain curriculums are so beneficial.
Oh, yeah.
Because they will help you see where at least the writer is trying to take the discussion.
Totally. Yeah, that's great. Well, let's look at the second one. This one is kind of interesting. It's a little bit controversial, I think, with D group leaders. It's having your D group do some preparation for group as well, right? And we're not going to use the word homework here, but I think what we can do here is say maybe one of the strategies that could add some energy to your conversation is giving the group a way to prepare for the discussion ahead of time. Now, Mitch, you were telling me about some of the things that you like to do with your group. Maybe share that with us.
So this past, really for the past 2 years, I've started basically giving different levels of preparation for people when they come in the room. So what I mean by that is at the bare minimum, all of the D group's discussions I like to lead are typically working through passages of scripture because I just think that's something that not often are people doing throughout their week. So I specifically try to work through a passage of scripture. And so at the bare minimum, I say, hey, before you come in, at least read this chapter. Mm-hmm. Like if it's you driving over here, great.
Yeah.
But at least read the chapter when you come in. But then on top of that, I try to give resources above that. So every book that we're doing, every book of the Bible we're reading through, say it's Galatians, there's going to be a study book attached. Now, I hope that they read through it. I encourage that they read through it. I draw from it regularly. I quote it. I use it. And I think some of that encourages people to use it more because they want to know what you're saying. Or maybe you circle something like, man, this paragraph is so good, I want you guys to come back and read this. And so secondly, it's, hey, read this study. Mm-hmm. And then the third aspect of it is from time to time, I share other resources or we have other people share other resources in the group.
Oh,
we have a discussion place where we're saying, hey, we were reading, I was thinking about this, here's this sermon I watched, here's this thing I was listening to, here's this article, and we share those things. So at a bare minimum, we say, you know, please at least read the passage before you come in. I think anybody at any stage of life, no matter how busy you are, reading a passage that takes you, could be 5 minutes.
5, 10 minutes.
Is, you know, it at least gets them thinking before they come in. So bare minimum, read the passage before you show up. Secondly, you know, we have a resource alongside that that I'd encourage you to read. Third is there's other outside resources that we're going to share.
That's cool. So. That's awesome. That's great. Thanks so much. Well, the third thing is that we're going to talk about here today is how do we start the discussion to kind of promote discussion happening within the group. And sometimes just having a really great launching question can be so helpful. One of the things that the book talks about, this is growth groups. This is the group that we use for our D Group Leader Workshop. But one of the things that it talks about is to have a great launching question, but to not use some of the maybe like preparation questions, the homework questions, right? Where those sorts of things, don't use those. But have a question that everyone can engage with that gets the discussion moving towards the goal that you're trying to reach for that study. And usually these are questions that they don't have a right or wrong answer necessarily. They could be about experience, their experiences or opinions about something. And it raises some tension about the topic or the application that you're discussing that day. So like an example, let's say you're reading a passage and the application is going to be about like, you know, baptism is a public identification with Christ. So you might want to have a launching question that's going to talk about your identification with Christ, something like, well, what identifies people as Christians today in our society, or something like that? Because those are things that anybody can answer that.
Yeah.
But it's starting to get people thinking about identity in Christ. So having a good opening question can help with that. So let me ask you, Mitch, how have you seen that maybe sometimes a good opening question can help to encourage discussion in your group, or how has a bad opening question discouraged it?
Well, so I'll start with the bad, because I think it's a little bit shorter. But I think again, as you alluded to, the typical bad opening questions are the ones that have a clear cut answer.
Yeah.
Because they don't create discussion.
Right.
So like one person answers it, and then maybe you're like, anybody else?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, there really only was one answer.
It's like that was a yes or no question. Like, what is that?
Yeah. So I think that's the bad questions for me are those questions that do have specific answers.
Yeah.
Also in line with kind of the good questions, I think something to get people thinking is to try to find a question that engages with their life or their story. So an example with baptism, you know, discussing, hey, you know, who in the room has been baptized? What led to that for you? What caused you to make that decision? Taking some
their
time.
Their experience.
Yeah, taking some time to engage with their experience and their story. Yeah. And I think that one shows people that you care and you're not just after an answer.
Right.
You know, I think there's a tension with that sometimes as a leader. Where people think like you're just trying to make sure they get all the right answers.
Right.
Where like here you're actually telling people, and because you do mean it, you're like, hey, I want to know about how you've engaged with this in your life and how this affects your story.
Yeah.
And so hearing their experience, maybe they've not been baptized, you know, and say, hey, you know, if you're willing, you know, share with us, why have you not taken a step to baptism yet?
Yeah.
You know, and helping them begin to kind of process those things. It may not seem open-ended, because you're asking people for their individual stories. But one, everybody in the room wants to hear that. Like everybody wants to hear and get to know this person better. But it also begins to create conversations because people see how it engages with their stories. And they begin to understand how, you know, maybe people are different. And then you're starting to work to this place where you understand how are people at least identifying personally with their baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to face their questions yourself. So
yeah.
So for me, I think focusing the opening questions on people's life experience, even if it's something where, you know, I'll often end a study and my thought will be, man, how can we focus on this more in our life? You know, say it's like being grateful or, you know, like focusing on God's working and being grateful for the things he's doing in our life. And I'll say, man, like, let's go throughout our weeks and let's think about this.
Yeah, that becomes the application.
Yeah, or like, let's think about prayer. And so I'll do that at the end. But then when I come back, often it's important to say, hey guys, how did the call to say let's pray more last week, how did that affect your week? What things were happening?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, relating it to things that are going on in their life, past experiences, current experiences, I think can help create that open into discussion. And the beautiful thing is once everybody's talking in the beginning, it usually means everybody's talking the whole time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If they're not talking in the beginning,
yeah,
you got a long study ahead of you.
Definitely.
And so
definitely.
If you can get them going off the bat,
yeah,
it's good stuff.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully this was helpful for you guys today. Next week, we're gonna conclude this discussion on leading your study with two more practical tips for you. So make sure you tune in next week to the D Group Leader podcast.